boss.
The siren's gone, like the tiger of old. The storm and the gold, with the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
So, I'm not really certain. We've talked before about how unused we are to dealing with success, but yeah, it's a new era of prosperity, Andy, and I'm not entirely certain how much I've processed it.
Yeah, I don't quite know how to take it either. Something I've been noticing the last few weeks, Nick, is when I watch other football teams play, because, you know, I primarily watch Richmond,
and
I don't watch other teams, a single one of other opposition teams consistently as I do Richmond. So that I don't understand their patterns as well as Richmond, but I find myself watching other teams and finding them not as well organised and doing silly things like wasting 50 entries or not really seeming to have a plan or not rolling over in defence as well as we do. And it really does feel like, and you know, this is a big thing for me to admit, that I'm watching the best coached team in the AFL right now. And you know, that those things can be transitory, and how well coached you are can, you know, maybe dependent on the strength of Dustin Martin's ankle. But that's how I feel right now. And there was just another small little thing I'll point out that made me really happy. In that game, in the Melbourne game, Martin, Prestia and Cochin all played about 73% of game time, which is normally they're up about 80%. So it's not a huge difference, but it's almost like a subtle management of load off going to a short break. Now, you might recall, Nick, a few years ago when we lost the North Melbourne game, I was furious about how Dimmer managed the players in the last few rounds of the season and didn't take load into account. And now we seem to be doing those things. It's like we're doing sort of smart, intelligent things and not making a big deal about them that you know, you wouldn't even notice if you didn't, you know, take a really fine look. It's just like suddenly everything's going right at once. Strange.
Yeah, it's deeply strange. The team, as you say, they're playing as a team, and that sense of everyone playing their roles. Like in some ways, Melbourne are a bit similar to us in terms of you know, Hogan is the Rewald. They bat really deep, contested ball winners. Big Maxi Gorn's an extremely good ruckman. They've got a bit of talent down back. Petrarca's got some X factor. But somehow they haven't got the pieces to fit around it, those guys, to work yet. Even though, you know, someone like Oliver's a fantastic player.
Petrarca, clearly.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's a beast to try and tackle. It just doesn't work as a team yet. And which is not to say it won't, but it is for us, and everyone knows their role. Like Jack, it's easy for Jack Higgins to come into the team because it just seems to be everyone is clear about their role, what their role is in their team, how to support one another, how to play for one another. And yeah, so we had three changes to the team from the week before, and it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, there's just, like, you notice that key goal in the third that Prestia kicked after Melbourne had kicked a goal. It was just, and it's not our only goal of this, it was tap on, tap on, tap on. Like, they just seem to know what each other is on the attacking end, or they at least know the philosophy. And in the defence, I think part of the reason our defence looks awesome is there's three or four players who are fantastic one-on-one in it, or at least three of them. Rance, Asprey and Grimes, but there's no doubt their understanding and cover for each other is just superb.
Yeah, it's fantastic. People talk about how well we defend the MCG. There's also a fair bit of athletic ability in that, and you know, part of that is Alex Rance, but that's also partly, you know, Dylan Grimes tested out as one of the 10 fastest players in the AFL over a sprint last year. Like, there is, you know, Nathan Broad in the grand final was one of the leading players. So, ground covered, like it's a, you know, Brandon Ellis, we know he's got a big tank. Basher Hall, he's same as well. It's just the pieces fit.
It is, and it's exciting to watch. And you know, we've seen the script before. The script was actually all the final script that we were. People might have forgotten that the game was within 13 points early in the fourth quarter, and then they just broke, and they couldn't handle the running, and then the last quarter was ours.
Actually, one of the other things I like about the team, even as annoying and frustrating as it was in the moment, that when Dan Butler centred Jacob Townsville and he fluffed the mark and fluffed the kick in quick succession, the instinct to overshare, yes, it can go wrong sometimes, but it just feels like the right side of the ledger to be erring on, of being an unselfish, of creating for your teammates, you know, doing something for them in the expectation that they'll do something back.
Yeah, I hate to use a commentator and coach cliche, but it is a sign of building a sustainable culture, is that the oversharing is an obvious sign of the giving that each one is doing for the team. So yeah, that's the most public display of it. So yeah, I completely agree. And another thing about this game, Nick, speaking of, I'm just taking the opportunity to tangent onto Dusty. There were a few moments, maybe after Dusty got that slight knock to his ankle, where some of the Dusty magic wasn't there. He missed.
Which frightens me.
Yeah, but there was a moment where he was turning around on his right about 35 out on a snapshot, and he missed. It was maybe 40. And there was another moment where he sort of had a chance to centre or kick goal, and he didn't either successfully. And it's just like during the finals, that Dusty magic would have come off. But the point is, we still won. And I was actually thinking, oh, we might pay for this. These might be the chances we might ruin at the end of the game. But actually, it was completely redundant. We were more than good enough, easily good enough for them without having to have Dusty magic.
I know. Well, and, you know, Trent Cotchin below 20 disposals, Prestia below 20 disposals. Like, it just didn't matter. I mean, I mentioned Jacob Townsend, and yeah, frankly, he struggled, which caused me pain, although he didn't. One of the beautiful things about having an ex-rugby league player in the team is that they know how to launch off 2 feet into a tackle, which is just not something that AFL players do instinctively.
Yeah, that tackle on Nathan Jones, if you watch it again, I was watching it on replay, and the crowd goes, ooh, when he hits it. And that was magnificent, and God, I love Jacob Townsend. But as our friend of the podcast, Ollie Noonan, says, the pixie dust is starting to wear off slightly.
It is. He did. He had two nice goal assists in a row in the fourth quarter.
But that incident where he fluffed the kick, he also burnt his teammates. He got a hand pass to a few there. And he missed a shot or two, which, you know, we're just not used to seeing.
Which we're not missing. Oh, the one where he fluffed, where he was literally in the goal.
Was that, and he also missed a set shot, which was...
which is completely out of character, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that magnificent run, it was always going to come to an end eventually. But, he brings the pain.
Yeah, bless him.
He's only going to need to do just enough on the offensive end, and the coaches will keep him in because they just love him for the hurt factor.
Yeah. I mean, we could almost talk about anybody, but he's got a fair bit of media attention. But what did you think of Jack Higgins?
Well, it's interesting rewatching his goals. They're legit. You know, particularly the first one was a nice crummy goal.
Yeah, that was my favourite one, because I always love things that reaffirm things we've said on the show before. But Yeah, we said when he was drafted, one of the things he's really genuinely good at is at getting front and center, like of reading the play and getting to the ball half a second before anybody else does. And very pleasingly, that has translated to AFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to come back to that. His second goal was bad defending by Melbourne because they all, four of them, went up in the marking contest and he just went a simple front and centre. And his third, you might remember, he marked in the boundary and then kicked a nice snapshot. And the person I was watching with, I said, he's going to kick this because he's a very smart footballer and he practices a lot and he'll know how to kick this goal. And again, wish I'd done on the podcast, but yeah, he kicked it.
Oh
He
no,
drew.
the only thing he's missed have been two easy set shots in front.
Yeah, his set shot kicking has been a worry, hasn't it? But
Which that's got to come around. Like he was a good set shot as a junior, like a very good set shot. So yeah, I'm just taking that as a brief glitch in an otherwise successful start to an AFL career.
the interesting thing is, and the club has said this, and most smart recruiting observers have said it too, is that he's only playing forward where he learns the game and he's going to finish as a midfielder. But at the moment, he does look most competent as a full-time forward. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm sure the experts are right, but it's just right now he looks like a natural forward.
Yeah, he does, and he's working hard around the ground. He's not making a ton of impact, but yeah, that's he doesn't look out of place on a senior AFL field, and for a teenager, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, it's wonderful, but it's his best flashes have been forward. Like really talented mids when they come into the AFL, often they can get a few surprise clearances, and he hasn't started doing that yet. Now we are a more disciplined team than maybe a few years ago. I'm just looking, did he get any clearances on the weekend?
I don't think he had a lot of time on ball. He might have had a few ground ball gets in the forward half of the ground, but yeah, I don't.
Yeah, he had zero. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just pointing out at the moment he's doing all his best work as forward. Who else stood out to you?
Oh, look, the love song to George Castagna continues. He's a score assist machine at the moment. And yeah, again, did everything right.
Yeah, so off the premiership year, he's okay. Thank you, Captain Obvious, but he's up in everything. Doubling, he's averaging 2 goals a game, a few more touches, more tackles. The graph's wonderful.
Oh yeah, fantastic. And yeah, I didn't see it coming. He was a wing half back as a junior. Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit of time forward, but mostly not. And in the VFL, he's been again more successful as a half back. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how many players are both fourth in total score involvements. Well, sorry, he's fourth in total score involvements, as you mentioned, but seventh in inside 50 tackles. It's a nice club to be in.
Speaking of younger players and actually his junior teammate, I continue to like Jaden Schwartz's game. Well, and we can talk about this later, but I'm actually in some pain at the prospect of almost any of the team being dropped. But yeah, Jaden Schwartz really stood up in tough moments, like in the third quarter when it felt like just scrappy possession, hitting, punching the ball forward, scrappy kicks. He wasn't afraid, and there were some players, probably I noticed more Melbourne players than ours, thankfully. But he never took a step back. I liked his game.
I thought he had a wonderful game. I thought he had the best game of the year that he had. Plenty of contested ball with his usual 20 touches, and heaps of meters gained. I'm not sure if it's relevant for halfback fact, but his pressure acts were higher than usual. Yeah, look, Look, you know, I'm buying what James Short's laying down, and you're right. He might get dropped, but I actually think, I mean, all the defenders they got. I don't think you. Obviously coming back, aren't you? So it's hard not to change the back line.
Because we didn't. I'm pretty certain we didn't play both Short and Broad in the same team.
So it's a tricky one, but it'd be a great shame. And Broad, on the other hand, you know, statistically mediocre, had three touches to three-quarter time, had hardly any metres gained, only two contested possessions, but structurally looked nice. He tackled well.
We set up well behind the ball with him, and he was able to do the dusty thing where he can rotate on whoever's running through and give a contest. Like, I was also reminded briefly that he should never be confused for a genuine key position back, because he got monstered by Bourne. But any other more normal-sized human beings, he's perfectly competent defending him. And we saw in the grand final, he's good defending quicker guys as well. So there's some versatility there. He doesn't win a ton of football, which is a challenge when you're also playing alongside Dylan Grimes, but it makes us very stingy to play against.
It does. And then, yeah, I mean, we'll see what they do, but if he gets dropped, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's probably one of the harshest droppings that has happened.
Well, no, who's going to deserve to get dropped? Like, you know, Sammy Lloyd is probably going to be the first one dropped, and he kicked one of the best goals of the day.
Kicked two. But yeah, just finishing that point on Short, if he gets dropped, it will be the harshest dropping since we started this podcast.
That's a big call.
That's
a big call.
Well, harshest, you know. I mean, the person who played the best game.
Least deserving, yeah. You know what you mean? I mean, the Nathan Broad incident, like, he's expressed remorse. You know, he's served his penalty. You know, and I hope everyone's learned a lesson. But then, yeah, like, I deeply... the thing that really sticks with me is that it's the only thing about the Premiership that I don't love with all my heart.
Fair enough. You mentioned Lloydie. So that goal was huge, the length of that kick. Like, he kicked it from outside 50, and it, you know, went sort of landed four or five rows into the Melbourne cheer squad. Oh, actually, it was the Richmond cheer squad, wasn't it? We were away. It was a magnificent kick. And look, he didn't have a lot of the ball, but he had six in the first quarter, what I thought was really hot. Nick, just permit me this indulgence. We talked about him too much last week, but I'm not a huge fan of him. I just noticed in the first quarter when things were really hot, Conker went missing and Lloyd actually stood up. He sort of went missing for the rest of the game, didn't do much after that. But again, you know, on old Richmond teams, that performance would have been good enough to keep his spot.
Yeah, Collingwood are really the first Richmond 2.0 team that we've seen. I think we've got to maximise our speed and athleticism. It's really, really unfortunate. He looks great. He looks so much trimmer and fitter than when he first came down to the club. And, you know, he's still a natural goal kicker. Yeah, it's a shame.
It is, but he's not a great contested ball player. He never had. We're lacking in a convincing player that's just going through the centre square rotation. It's going to hurt him.
Look, we mentioned the defenders. I thought they're all really good. You know, Asprey dominated. Hogan's best touches were all in midfield, the occasional one around 50. He got one mark close to goal, but Melbourne did not get a mark close to goal almost for the whole night, and that allowed us to absorb pressure for fairly long periods while they were winning in midfield.
And Nick, changing back to the forward line, Edwards had another 26 possession, high 20s possession game, which is proving once again that the certainly the late career, like a fine wine, the late career shape is just getting better and better.
Yeah, it's... I mean, no secret, an article about it on the club website. But when you've got the guy I wanted to talk about next was Kane Lambert, but they both work really hard. Edwards is probably more creative with their hands. Lambert's can do a bit of a run roost role, but yeah, they just—it's just part of. You know, with some other teams defensively, and then when we get the ball, we're really dangerous on the break, and part of that is just guys working really hard for each other. It's almost feel like we should say some more contrarian things, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, we're sounding a bit like the club podcast at the moment. Lambert was huge. And I mean, thank you, Captain Obvious, but he's best on ground. But
yeah, best on ground from both coaches.
But 15 contested possessions, 29 stats, was on the ground for 87% of the time, which is a huge amount of time for a running player. The guy is just, you know, there are guys that stat line is probably flattering because of the role they're playing, which is my theory on Conker. And there are guys who are just like picking up the team and carrying them on the back. And Lambert's one of them. By the way, just going back to what we're saying to Dusty, how he said, yeah, he didn't have his best game and he sort of missed a few opportunities and we won despite of his mediocre performance. He had 10 clearances.
He was still very good.
I know, but we're still right. He was a down game for him, but you know, still was. He was the one getting the ball out of the middle. Anyway.
Actually, for a very random Dusty stat, I was... There's rumours that Jack Higgins is close to re-signing for an extra 2 years, which I'm very happy with. But did you know that Dusty is the only Richmond player under contract for the years 2022, 2023, and 2024?
Yeah, that's a shock, Nick.
Yeah, that's how big his contract is.
Yeah, well, that's the price of a unique skill set. Slightly downside, are you worried about Brando?
Yeah, he of Townsend and Brando are the two guys who, you know, we talked at the start of the year in the Carlton game. Oh, there were a few guys a bit off, and Kane Lambert was one of them, which shows how quickly it can turn around. But yeah, Brando and Townsend are the two that feel most off their how well they were playing towards the end of last year. Like, I mean, Butler's been very good, just things didn't quite fall his way on Tuesday night, but hey, Brando feels like another level where he's just a bit, I still feel like he's going hard, but he's just a bit more fumbly and not quite as assured as he was.
He's currently having his worst, just on sort of raw basic statistics, he's currently having his worst year since his rookie year. I don't know what's happening. The other person who, you know, I think is fantastic is Camden McIntosh.
Well, he's both, I know you think he's fantastic. I think he's very popular with his teammates as well, because they really got around him when he kicked those goals.
Yeah, he is, but he's just not... 2 goals, great, but it's another quite low possession game.
Yeah, he was... I think he was had the lowest time on ground of anyone on the team.
But again, that's sort of strange, and that's not often a good sign. Second lowest. Higgins had the lowest.
Yeah,
I don't know. He hasn't kicked on from last year, and like he's still.
No, fine. Look, he's had some good moments, but yeah, no, he hasn't taken it to another level.
Which he is in the age, and he was sort of a raw talent that, you know, it would have been reasonable to expect him this year to go to another level. So yeah, anyway, let's not be too critical in terms of
he'd really take, he would take his chances with those goals. They were fantastic.
Yeah, and he is kicking well for goal this year, but he's just not quite getting the ball around the ground as much as I like. Preston's game, quite mediocre on the basic stats, but really picked up the Jack Graham pressure role. He had 70 pressure points, which was sort of
which is a lot. There's annoyingly, the Herald Sun has a pressure stat rating, and then there's another one on the AFL side. And Trent Cotchin's pressure rating was the highest we've had all year, which is pretty remarkable because Jack Graham is a monster in this stat.
Yeah, it was pretty good on the Herald Sun rating as well. But yeah, that's it. He was doing a lot of the hard graft, and he did the customary Geelong final thing where he kicked the goal and the sort of the ceiling goal just to get the crowd up and about in the fourth quarter.
The gravy goal. One top gunner is very close to your heart. I think Sean Griggs got a bit better as a ruckman.
Yeah, he actually had quite a... He had, I think, his best game of the year. 10 contested possessions, plenty of clearance work. Yeah, it was nice. I was sort of getting a bit worried that the father time might be tolling for Grigger, but and I wasn't quite ready for that. Now that he's a premiership hero, I want him around for a bit longer.
I'm perfectly happy for him to go another year.
His contract, they said that they're waiting and seeing on the contract. I'm perfectly happy. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, on current form, I'd be happy. But that was about it on the players for me. Oh, what did you think of Nank versus Gorn?
I think, you know, I was fine. We won the clearances even though we got killed in the hit-outs. And, you know, around the ground, they probably battled even. But yeah, it was a classical Nank fighting loss.
It's hard to quite get your head around, but he had 10 one percenters, which is almost as many as Rance and Grimes. So it does feel like he's doing quite, you know, at least he's keeping up the teamwork side of things.
We'll come back to Nank when we talk about the Pies.
Yeah, well, another challenge this week. So, you know, top of the ladder, first time in 23 years, and yeah, it feels like we deserve it.
Yeah, I noticed the stat that you came up with about Richmond being the premiership favourites. For the first time, has now been picked up in the mainstream media. I think you came up with it first. I didn't read anyone before you mentioned it. Look, it's round five. And, you know, it just doesn't really matter right now. No. A percentage is nice. That's good.
It's a sign that we're travelling well.
Yeah, and like people have been like, Bulldogs won six games after their premiership. They were actually looking a bit shaky, I remember, but they still won them. So, you know, it's 1 week at a time, and every week's a new challenge. And I don't want to lose that feeling of every week being exciting and nervous. Probably I got so pessimistic before Melbourne, and that was probably, I was wrong in hindsight. I should have been more optimistic. And I'm more optimistic now with Collingwood, but I'm not overexcited about being first.
I'm pretty confident about Fremantle the week after.
Yeah, although that's in Western Australia.
No, that's the MCG.
Oh, in that case. Oh, no worries then. All right. Okay. Anyway.
Yep. Early line is 32 points. I'm pretty confident about that one.
I would have been more excited about being top of the ladder if we hadn't just won the premiership anyway. If it happened last year, at this time of year, I'd be pretty stoked.
Well, another team that's travelling well is the VFL. They've got over both their own inaccurate goal kicking and Casey Demons and Melbourne's team with a very solid six goal win, and yeah, some of them both contributors of familiar faces and some new faces as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I just don't get it, Nick. Like, I appreciate there's something, there's probably I'm not seeing, but if you're going to play as a specialist mill, I don't know why Miles can't play, make an AFL team as their sort of fourth or fifth mid, you know, getting the contested possession. You know, with 22 players in the rotations, you can find a spot for them. I don't know. But it's just, it's the way it is. I think if you put Miles in the conquer role, you get sort of four more clearances, three more contested possessions, and one or two less howling clangers. But I do appreciate, and I think this was, I'm going to forget who said it, but it just made the observation that we need Conker's speed around the contest. And, you know, that may be the case.
He covers a lot of ground. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm sure it's the lack of positional versatility and lack of goals is the big problem.
Conker doesn't bring goals either, and we're absolutely loaded with halfback flanks at the moment. Anyway, we talked about this so much last week. I didn't want to go on about, but I'm definitely. I think I'd love Miles to get a go. I've always liked him as a player. I think he's, I'm a sort of Moneyball fan, so that was my key takeaway from the VFL. But anyway, what else happened?
Well, Shobart, they often talk about being above the level, and Joe Bolton had 20 disposals, 6 shots for goal, quite a few attempted speckies, and at least one he sort of pulled off. Yeah, he looks great. And of Tyson Stengel, equally wasteful in front of goal with 1.4, he played so well that he ended up being an emergency for Tuesday night. Like, yeah, those guys are going great. And Liam Baker also played well.
Yeah, so just, I think that was interesting that Tyson got picked ahead of Bolton. Might be a little bit of symbolism in that. Liam Baker played very well. I'm excited about Liam too. We're absolutely loaded in that position, aren't we?
I know, it's incredible.
And from the small to the very large, Soldo was actually absolutely dominating.
Yeah, a Maxi Gorn-like 67 hit-out.
Very, very timely against the team with probably the best ruck duo in the AFL.
Mm. Yeah, he's in the squad for this week. Oleg Markov listed as our second.
Made me so excited.
Yeah, pretty encouraged. But
thank God, but like, just it made me exciting because I like Alec Michael. But on the other hand, oh, thank God, we've finally got another halfback flank who can keep the ball a long way.
Look, one thing I really like. So apparently, you know, I haven't really heard of this before. Where you've got a guy, I've heard of them nursing workloads for guys coming off, young players coming off an injury. And Coleman Jones had a couple of injuries, but, you know, he's been healthy for a while. But I've heard a briefing at one of the coterie groups, one of the coaches said they're going to manage him through the VFL season, and he's not going to play every week in a deliberate attempt to get a lot of kilometres into his legs for next season.
Yeah, that was interesting, but it was really pleasing because he didn't do much in the VFL preseason matches either. Like, he hasn't sort of...
No, the one that I saw for the Carlton game, yeah, like, he's a large and fairly mobile human being, but he wasn't making much of an impact in the actual, you know, football.
So it's great now it's the first, I think last week was the first time Tiger fans got to see why he was our second pick overall.
Hmm. Well, yeah, so he's ended up kicking 3 goals and would have had a fourth as he was running into an open goal on the siren. But I was actually encouraged. He had 12 disposals from only 2 marks, which is counterintuitively quite a good thing for a 201 centimeter human being who is, you know, unlike he who must not be named, is actually going to fill out into an enormous human being. And if he can keep that agility and ball winning, yeah, he's going to be very useful both as the forward and as around the ground rock.
Yeah, exactly. I should have said that earlier. I found that a very reassuring performance. Anyone else stand out to you?
Oh, look, Nash. Patrick Nash is going okay. He's, you know, again, a teenager, first year of AFL, not dominating, but not struggling, sort of in the middle. And, yeah, it's, again, the luxury of, you know, this isn't 2005 where we're having to pretend that Tom Roach is a prospect.
It's true. Not sure 14 positions for an outside receiver would have got you a game even in 2005, but I see the point you're making. But it's round. He'll probably, yeah.
The word is he's working pretty hard and getting up and down the ground, which is, you know, again, that was what he did as a junior. So, you know, you want to get a sense that that actually translates at a higher level.
Collingwood.
I said already, they're the closest thing we've seen to a really genuine imitator. And again, they've been in a situation where, well, you could make the argument that they haven't had one functional key forward. You know, they've had moments. Ben Reid's had moments. Mason Cox has had the odd moment. But, yeah, they've made a call of going smaller and faster in their forward line, and it's working for them. They're the number one handball team in the AFL. They've got three elite midfielders in Pendlebury, Sidebottom, and Treloar. Treloar's actually leading the Coaches Association Award votes for the competition. So they're not going to be easy. I don't, you know, we talked about Melbourne not having the same connection as us. My nagging feeling with Collingwood is that outside of the gun midfielders, they don't have as much talent at either end of the ground. But, yeah, and look, you never, look, fingers crossed, he doesn't have any issues, but, yeah, still a bit annoying. And they traded Sam Murray from the Swans as traded a fairly high draft pick this year for an untried rookie, and he's been pretty good as well. So, yeah, they've got quite a bit of pace around the field, which is why I think, you know, Lloyd's probably first one dropped. Yeah, then it gets really tough. I think they've got to look at some combination of Short would be really unlucky. Higgins would be desperately unlucky. Townsend would kind of break my heart. Like, but yeah, I don't know. No easy answers.
And at this point, unfortunately, my audio dropped out. So we'll have to leave the game preview there. But we'll be back next week with a full show. I'm Andy. You've been listening to Richmond Tiger Talk.
Who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one. Silence is gone. Like the tiger of old. Like a storm in the
a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left off snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmerin and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and we just got to keep riding away.
Jack, you're going to be a premiership player.
Oh, mate, I'm tired.
and skinny. If we're behind, then never mind. We'll fight and fight and win the whip of Iron Man. We never meet until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the storm and river.